Hello, it is Sunday, September 19th. I am Trent Reinsmith, and this is another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast, and here are the topics for today. UFC fighters, take whatever a UFC employee, even if that UFC employee is a former UFC champion, with a grain of salt. Maybe just dismiss what they have to say because it's kind of a conflict of interest. Raquel Pennington should be the lead story on any MMA websites and should be someone who the UFC brass is asked about this week heading into UFC 266. To do anything less than that is to not be doing your duty as an MMA journalist or a member of the MMA media. Anything other is just you doing PR work for the UFC. Let's discuss Michael Bisping and his idea that he joined the UFC promotion in 2005. I don't see it that way. I see Bisping as being an independent contractor until he got a job with the UFC as a commentator. And I try and break that down and make that a little clearer for everyone. Then I wonder why Anthony Smith doesn't get any respect and when he is going to get some respect. Because he definitely deserves to get some respect. Michael Bisping. Let's not forget who Michael Bisping is these days. Yes, he's a podcaster. Yes, he's a former UFC champion, but most of all, he is a UFC employee. And so when he offers advice to fighters, I think that advice should be taken with a, let's just say, a massive grain of salt. And if it was me, I would dismiss that advice outright. Now, that doesn't mean he's wrong or that he's not sincere, but when you're on the payroll of the UFC and the UFC knows that they can use you to influence other fighters, I don't think the UFC is or ever will be above doing that. And so when Bisping offered advice to Leon Edwards, I would hope that Leon Edwards would dismiss that advice. And here's what Bisping had to say about Edwards. And again, this was on his own podcast. But still, the majority of Michael Bisping's money these days, I think, is going to be generated by his work with the UFC. So take everything he says with a grain of salt. So here's what he said to Edwards. Leon Edwards came out publicly and said he doesn't want to fight Jorge Masvidal. He says that he's got no interest in fighting him because he's on a two-fight skid. It just frustrates me a little bit. That's the fight you should definitely go after. Let's remember Masvidal assaulted him and punched him backstage. As a man, you should fight him. First of all, this as a man shit, gotta stop. Because I don't know what as a man has to do with your job. So if you go to work and someone insults you at work, as a man, you should bite them if someone insults you. So someone says, you know, you suck at work. Now, as a man, you should fight them. No, as a man, you should just ignore them because they aren't anything you should be concerned about if they're that silly. So this as a man shit I've been seeing a lot about, and it just rings a little false and rings a little hollow and rings a little childish. I know the idea of fighting is, you know, fantastic, makes you feel good and all that shit, but the reality is, if it's not your job, fighting is pretty stupid and pretty illegal. So don't do it unless you're getting paid to do it. And if you're getting paid to do it, maybe look at what's best for you in your career. And right now, if Leon Edwards thinks waiting for a title fight is best for his career, well, then that's up to Leon Edwards. Maybe a fight with Masvidal would make him money. Maybe it would. Maybe it wouldn't. Maybe he wants to wait. Maybe he wants to wait and train. Whatever. That's Leon Edwards' decision. And if Michael Bisping is going to try and influence that as an employee of the UFC, because no matter what he says and where he says it, at the end of the day, he is an employee of the UFC. That's a conflict of interest. And I would hope that Leon Edwards takes the advice of any of these UFC talking heads and throws it right out the window because they don't really care about Leon Edwards in the big picture because they're not Leon Edwards. So Edwards needs to consider his job, his future, and what he wants to do. Now, whether that's right or wrong, okay. You know, that's up to Leon Edwards to decide, not up to Michael Bisping to decide. The biggest story that came out of last night's UFC Vegas 37 fight card was without a doubt one of the stories that the UFC probably didn't want to get mentioned all that much and just kind of tried to gloss over in a brief kind of statement as that fighter walked to the octagon. And this was between fights, so I was taking notes and working on my story for Bloody Elbow for the winners and losers when Raquel Pennington was walking out, and I heard, because I wasn't really paying attention because it was, you know, the walkout, and I'm not focused on the broadcast. I'm listening in case something gets said that I need to pay attention to. But big picture, I'm more focused on catching up on the most recent fight and trying to get everything in order. So when I hear she spent 31 days in the hospital and was on a ventilator, that caught my attention. And so I went back after that and checked it out. And yeah, that got mentioned in passing, that Raquel Pennington had, and I don't think they said COVID during the broadcast, because God forbid a UFC commentator say COVID with Dana White in any kind of earshot or the potential to overhear it, because we know Dana White doesn't want to say COVID. He'll just refer to it, the crazy things that we're going through right now. So when I heard ventilator, 31 days in the hospital, didn't start fighting again until a doctor approved. I'm training again until a doctor approves her to do so. That got my attention. And then luckily, Pennington was asked about this after the fight, where she went into more detail. And here's what she said. In April, I ended up getting COVID. I coach high school gymnastics, and I think I got it from just being around the athletes there. I ended up catching a really bad case, and it just kind of knocked me on my butt. It was pretty scary, honestly. I ended up in the hospital twice. I was on oxygen. I was on steroids for my heart and my lungs, and the migraine was just one of a kind. It was pain that was like going down my spine. They had no answers for me. So it was kind of one of those things that to where you had to truly rest. I remember laying in bed one night, and I was just like, this can't be it, because I really felt like my body was just shutting down on me, and that was going to be the end of it. So this is frightening, and yet it was just kind of brought up in passing, and I think this was the first time we really heard about Pennington being sick at all, or at least that kind of sick with COVID-19. And my question then, which should be to the UFC and the Dana White, is what did you do for this fighter? What did you do for this fighter who was in the hospital for 31 days, was on a ventilator, and according to what she says here, felt like her body was going to shut down and she was going to die? What did you do? And the answer is, from what we know so far, unless the UFC is going to correct this, is nothing but ignore it and look to fill roster spots with cheaper fighters on the Dana White Contender Series. So that's what the answer was. The answer was, act like nothing's going on, talk about something as if it's not really happening, brag about how you made the sport safer, and then offering zero financial or medical help to your independent contractors because they are not employees and you don't offer them health insurance. You offer them injury insurance while they're training. So that's what I know so far. Now, the UFC, feel free to correct that. But the UFC media, now we have a big pay-per-view card coming up. And so access to Dana White is going to be available. Access to other UFC brass is going to be available. To not ask these questions and ask them until you get an answer and not some kind of BS excuse is something that has to be done. If you don't do that as a media member and you have access to these folks, that's a dereliction of duty. And maybe you should really think about who you're serving here. Are you serving the UFC as a PR agent, or are you serving the media and a journalist and the fans as a journalist? Because if you're not going to ask this, you are not a journalist. You're a PR hack. And another thing I would say about this is, if you are a MMA website and this wasn't on your headline, one of your headlines and one of your lead stories on Sunday and into Monday, then you also should think about who you're serving. Because if you're afraid to print this and put this and publish this and put this in front of everyone for everyone to see and to start generating questions about this, well, then you too are serving the UFC and not your readers or serving the fans as a media or journalist. You're just doing PR if this is something you're going to ignore or just kind of brush away. And you know, you can print the, I mean, you can publish the video to the, your YouTube page, but that's not where the video and the publication and the readers are going to go. It's not. Put it on your front page, talk about it in op-eds, make editorials about it, speak openly about it, offer your opinion on it. Don't gloss over the fact that Raquel Pennington was in a hospital for 31 days and on a ventilator and felt like she was going to die, and we find out about it in a brief comment as she walks to the octagon. The UFC has failed from day one on this COVID, on how it's dealt with COVID. The only thing that it did well was allow the Abu Dhabi government to pay for its bubble on Fight Island. Other than that, it's been a fiasco. It's been a nightmare. It's been excuses and glossing over it and Dana White proclaiming just things that didn't really happen or aren't true, such as he made it safer or that there was a bubble in Las Vegas. Pennington, according to the records I've been keeping on Bloody Elbow, is now the 75th reported incident of UFC fighters testing positive for COVID-19. That does not include people in the fighters' camps, coaches, UFC staff, anything. It's just strictly UFC fighters who are on the roster. And from what we've known, what we know, only one of those fighters was even given any kind of assistance from the UFC with their medical care. Outside of that, it's kind of been a gray area. So I would hope the media now, with Pennington coming out and opening up about this, speaking about it so openly, and her fears, well, maybe now is the time to start asking the tough questions of Dana White and the UFC, because it's not going away. It's still here, still in a bad spot, and the UFC is still kind of ignoring it and taking the Donald Trump kind of approach. Well, it'll pass. It's not passing. So media needs to do a lot better on this, top to bottom, a lot better. And UFC 266 Fight Week would be a great time to ask Dana White about it. So questions that are easy to ask is, what did the UFC do to help her? And what did the UFC do to help the other fighters? And then go from there. But get an answer. But first of all, ask the question. Michael Bisping. I'm not picking on Bisping here, but he was, you know, one of two men on the mic. So you catch some heat when you're on the mic. And one thing that struck me as odd and kind of misrepresented what Bisping's role is and was when he was talking about the fact that he joined the promotion in 2005. And I know the UFC fighters like to think of themselves as UFC employees and that they're part of that team and that Dana White will probably tell them that they're part of a team. But we know that that's not true. You're only part of the team when you're helping the UFC. When you're not fighting, when you're injured, you're just kind of someone who's on the roster, but not really concerned because you're not getting paid. You're just kind of there, and you're kind of a forgotten thing. So Bisping said he joined the promotion in 2005, and that's not true. Michael Bisping joined the promotion when he retired and started to become a full-time commentator. That's when he joined the promotion. That's when he got his paychecks from the UFC, and I'm going to assume insurance. Now, no one has answered me the date as if the commentators are also independent contractors, which I wouldn't be shocked, but it would be another gross move by the UFC. So Bisping was an independent contractor from 2005 until he retired more or less and became a full-time commentator. So Michael Bisping didn't join the promotion. Michael Bisping, as every other fighter on the UFC roster is, was as useful to the UFC as a bucket without a hole. Now, maybe that's an oversimplification, but if you look at it, not really. He's an independent contractor, so only gets used and paid when he's being used. And if Bisping ever sprung a hole, he had no job security. So say that bucket springs a hole, it gets thrown out to the trash. If Bisping starts losing, or any other fighter starts losing, they get thrown out to the trash. There's no job security for the bucket or for the fighter. You have a contract. Sure, you have a contract, but that contract is not guaranteed. It's just empty words on a page. UFC can tear that up anytime it wants. Just like you can throw that bucket out anytime it wants. So don't think these UFC fighters are part of the UFC roster, are part of the UFC. They are independent contractors to be used until they break and then thrown out and replaced. And we're seeing that more now, and it's obvious more now because of the pandemic and because of the Dana White Contender Series. Now you're seeing these Contender Series fighters get signed like it's going out of style. Well, because it's incredibly cheap to sign them, and that's why they're being signed. White's signing these fighters because he's having a hard time staffing the fights and getting people to fight. And so the idea is then you bring in a bunch of replaceable cogs and hope that they can get some momentum, and you can throw out the more expensive cogs and replace them with these little, the plastic ones that are much cheaper. And then when these folks build up some steam, but then start to lose, you get rid of them. It's an never-ending cycle. If the UFC wanted to show that the fighters, that they were part of the promotion, they would pay them a salary. They would pay them a stipend. They would offer them health insurance, not injury insurance. They would offer them some kind of pension, perhaps a 401k kind of deal where they give them a matching amount and maybe even a free amount that they put in the 401k for them that goes towards a vesting principle, and then they can start building on that. But right now, none of that is happening. UFC is just staffing it with independent contractors, just like, you know, any other side hustle. And when they break down, they throw them out and replace them with cheaper and newer models. So I just wanted to make sure that that gets reiterated again and again and again. And the understanding is there. UFC fighters are not part of the promotion. They don't join the promotion. They are there to make the promotion money and the story. And then maybe if they get lucky, like Bisping, like Cormier, those that'll play the game with the UFC maybe a little more than some who won't, like John Jones or George St. Pierre, they'll be able to make a career out of it after they retire. But no, the UFC, you don't join the UFC. You temporarily perform on the stage as an independent contractor. So you're not part of the promotion. Just a piece that gets replaced when you break down. Anthony Smith, I understood why Anthony Smith kind of freaked out at the end of his fight, because Anthony Smith, for what he's achieved, is probably one of the least respected fighters on the UFC roster. Maybe it's because he doesn't really show his ass all that much. He doesn't promote himself all that much. Maybe it's just because he is good, but not great at anything. He's just pretty much good at everything, and good enough to be in the top of the light heavyweight division for quite a while and get a title fight, and good enough to fight former champions, former title challengers, but still not good enough to get the respect from the fans and maybe the media. And I don't get it. Anthony Smith is a really good fighter. He's really good at everything. He's one of the more well-rounded fighters in the light heavyweight division, and no one really pays him any respect. And I don't understand why. Look at the people he's fought and beat, and even look at the people he's lost to. He's not losing to scrubs. He's not beating just scrubs. He's fighting top 10 opponents here, or opponents who are going to be hopefuls and title challengers in the future, and he's doing really well. Maybe it's because he's been around so long. Maybe it's because his record's not that stellar. But since he's rejoined the UFC, and I think 2016 when he rejoined, he's done really, really well. And if I was him, I would be fed up too. And I don't think that a outburst he had at the end of the event was directed at Ryan Spann. I think it was directed at the frustration he has with everyone who is kind of dismissing him or kind of not showing him the respect he deserves. But, I mean, people in the know respect Anthony Smith, but people really need to start showing it, because he's not just some regular fighter anymore. He's not the guy who got booted from the UFC in 2013 after one fight. He's not that guy. He's not the guy that spent 3 or 4 years fighting for a bunch of different promotions before he beat Josh Neer and got another chance in the UFC. He's not that guy. He's a top five UFC light heavyweight. And if he wins the light heavyweight championship, because he's still pretty young in his early 30s, if he wins the UFC light heavyweight championship one day, I am not going to be surprised. Not one bit. He's a really good fighter, deserves some respect, and I'm glad he's fed up with being disrespected. I mean, I'm not glad that, I'm not happy about how it got released at the end of the fight. I think maybe, well, I know that that was wrong, but again, I understand it, because when you get dumped on all that time, and you know you're good and deserve to be respected, well, that's got to be frustrating. So, Anthony Smith, if everything goes well, he gets a shot at Rakic, man, I'm having a hard time with that last name. If he gets a shot at the end of the year to maybe get himself another title shot, put some respect on Anthony Smith's name and his accomplishments, because he deserves it. And on that note, I'm going to call it a night. Upcoming this week, I'm going to probably do a little more previews than I normally do, just because of the stakes of the fights at the top of the UFC 266 fight card, and go from there. So until then, everyone, stay safe.